ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Welcome to this podcast. The foundation of ACCA in 1904 was to create a professional body for accountancy professionals that was open to all. We take pride in being the first body to admit women members and other notable milestones in the profession's evolution. The value of inclusion remains at the core of everything we do. One thing that the pandemic has taught us is the need to reappraise our values and approaches. Rebuilding our lives, our economies, and our profession can and should be done in ways that challenge our accepted norms. We should pause to think how we can do better. And this is a real opportunity to reset, one that cannot be missed. And diversity and inclusion are collaboratively one key aspect of this, building towards a better society where all can have the same range of opportunities available to them. And this podcast accompanies ACCA's report that discusses this subject. My name is Clive Webb, and I'm the Head of Business Management at ACCA. And I'm pleased today to be joined by my guest, Kenya Babat. Kenya has 15 years of expertise in HR, organisational and people development, culture programmes and processes. An ex-diversity and inclusion leader at General Electric, she has lived and worked in six different countries, ranging from Russia to Kenya to Turkey to the USA, and is the founder of the first Russian diversity and inclusion consulting company. So welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Clive. Thank you.
So I guess a tricky question to start off, but how do you define diversity and inclusion?
Yeah, I knew you'll ask this question. let's start from the basics. So diversity is any dimension that can be used to differentiate groups and people from one another, right? So in a nutshell, it's about empowering people by respecting and appreciating what makes them different. And this could be inherent, so things we can't change about ourselves, such as nationality, race and ethnicity, age, gender, disabilities, sexual orientation, or acquired, such as marital status, socioeconomic status, educational background, area of expertise, and etc. So each individual in an organization brings with them a diverse set of perspectives, work and life experiences, as well as cultural differences. And the power of diversity can only be unleashed when we recognize these differences and learn to respect and value each individual. So this is about the diversity. So talking about the inclusion, so inclusion is a sense of belonging. It is ensuring that our work environment is the one where all individuals are treated fairly and respectfully, have equal access to opportunities and resources, and can contribute fully to the organizational success. So developing my idea, inclusion is an organizational effort and practices in which different groups of individuals having different backgrounds are culturally and socially accepted, which means welcomed, valued, respected, and heard. So in very simple terms, diversity is the mix, and inclusion is getting the mix to work well together. And I can continue my idea. So what does it mean? So how we can make it work together, right? So inclusion is often a shift in organizations' mindset and culture that has visible effects, such as employees' life cycle in the organization, starting from the recruitment process, and then induction, and then learning and development and promotion. So decision-making processes and how offices are physically organized, policies and procedures. So this is about inclusion. And also another question, which I usually hear, what's the difference between equality and equity? So equality has to do with giving everyone the exact same resources, whereas equity involves distributing resources based on the needs of the recipients. So some underrepresented or oppressed groups and individuals need more support. And this is natural. And this is what is supposed to be done by the company to provide equity.
So if we're striving towards equity, I guess, through diversity, through inclusion, why should organizations, large and small, really be interested?
Yeah, openness to diversity widens our access to the best talent. And inclusion allows us to engage talent effectively. So together, this leads to enhanced innovation, creativity, productivity, reputation, engagement, and results. A lot of research has been done by scientists and Big Four and Big Three consulting companies. These reports are available, and I can share with you some examples of these findings. So, for example, businesses with a healthy balance of men and women are 21% more likely to outperform competitors. Businesses with a good mix of ethnic backgrounds are 33% more likely to outperform their competitors. Teams that are gender, age, and ethnically diverse make better decisions up to 87% of the time. And et cetera, et cetera. So as I mentioned before, there are plenty of the research proving that there are plenty of benefits of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the company.
And is it harder for smaller businesses? I mean, the large corporates generally can invest the time, can't they? But it's equally important for the smaller businesses to grasp some of this and actually to work within the supply chains that they're in to ensure that they are ethically sound, if you like.
Right. So we're talking not only about the internal culture of the company, but we're also talking about the customers, clients, and suppliers. But also for small businesses, it's important to create a psychologically safe environment for the employees, for people who are working with you, to actually embrace their talents and to provide them with a space where which creates higher performing organizations.
But one thought we've heard as we've done the research for the report, it is this contention that it's all about a series of HR policies, and if the HR policies get it right, if the turn the top gets it right, I as an individual get swept along, if you like. Is it really something that I as an individual in an organization should really care about?
Well, I believe that everyone wants to feel welcomed, valued, respected, and heard. And for each individual in the company, it's actually D&I is actually the opportunity to be themselves. So ask yourself a question: am I able to be authentic self at work? And if the question is no, so it's definitely the area of development in D&I in the company. But also, when we bring D&I to the company, it also provides you with regular exposure to people, cultures, traditions, and practices that are unlike your own. And as the result, it gives you the perspective. Like hearing about another's experience can shed light on a life different than your own and provide you a new alternative way of looking at things. We also talk about the productivity. Bringing together people of various backgrounds with different life experiences can generate ideas and solutions that others may not have ever considered or been aware of. So we can see that there are benefits for the organization and also for the individuals.
So this is the link to well-being and mental health effectively in the workplace, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like when we feel psychologically safe in the company, we don't have any reasons to feel anxious and constantly having worries about being ourselves, about bringing, about challenging status quo, about not agreeing with someone, about bringing authentic ourselves to the company. So it's definitely directly connected with the well-being, yes.
So if I'm listening to this podcast, what are the things perhaps I should reflect on that I should be doing to support diversity and inclusion, both in my workplace, in my professional life? Do you have some sort of key tips for people to think about, things they could do, should be doing differently?
Yeah, thank you for this question. So when I think about this, I come up with top three to-dos, which I usually try to inspire people to use in their daily life. So first of all, assess your environment. Just look around and ask yourself a question, how diverse and inclusive it is now. The second one, assess your biases. Like, we all have biases. Some of them are conscious, some of them are unconscious. And like, they have their reasons to exist in our life. They are supposed to protect us, but are they really needed? Are they fair to other groups or individuals? It's really not easy to work on our own biases, but as soon as we become more conscious about them, it really helps us to treat people fairly and to treat ourselves fairly. And the third one, be curious. Widen your experience, interact with new groups and individuals, and get to know people who are different from you. So assess your environment, assess your biases, and be curious.
There's one theme that you've mentioned a couple of times here. I mean, you've worked in many countries, I've worked in many countries, and mm-hmm. that's given us a privileged position, I suppose, of seeing lots of different cultures and appreciating different ways of working. It's that sense of that richness of different cultures and different ideas mm-hmm. that actually is at the heart of a couple of things that you've said in this podcast.
Right. But you don't have to travel to other countries. Mm. To get this richness, right? Just look around and observe, because we tend to surround ourselves with people who are like us, and we can access other groups and other individuals within our own countries by just looking around and asking ourselves, who is around me? And who is not? So who, you know, the question, like, who is not in the room, who is supposed to be here? Just widen your interests. Try to talk to people of different ages, different gender, different nationalities, different sexual orientation, people with different disabilities. These are the basics, yeah? And then different life experiences, different backgrounds. Sometimes it's not so easy, because people can be different from us. And if we don't know much about them, it can scare us. But to overcome this fear, we have to interact, and we have to talk, and we have to learn about other people and individuals. Only through this step we can access all the benefits of diversity and inclusion.
And you mentioned biases a moment ago, as an understanding our biases. Do you have a tip or two for people to think about how they might understand their biases?
Well, yeah, there are tests. For example, implicit Harvard test, which you can use, you can find on the internet and try it out, which helps to identify our subconscious biases. Or you can ask people who are close to you, what do they notice? Like these are main tools. Yeah.
We shouldn't be afraid to seek feedback, should we? And treat it in a constructive way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Asking for feedback is one of the key things to learn as well.
So I guess that takes me on to a question of, so how do I encourage and advocate others to take an interest to do the right thing across this agenda?
Yeah, so we've been talking a lot about like what are the key actions I should take. I think the answer here will be the same. Yeah, so this encourage people to do the same things. And also always speak up if you see that someone is excluded or is not treated fairly. It's also an important thing to do. And share your feedback with people.
And be honest.
And be honest.
Yeah. And sometimes we never, unless we sit back and think, we don't realise where people are being excluded. We sort of take that comfort factor, as you said, of teams always being the way we've constructed teams in our like, in our sense of that's the way we've always done things.
Right. And like being honest also requires to be vulnerable sometimes. To accept our vulnerabilities or to accept our mistakes or to accept our biases or, you know, it does require effort and strength.
And there's nothing wrong in admitting those, is there? As you say, it's actually a strength.
Absolutely. This is the way to develop. This is the way to access the pleasures and the benefits of this world and of like particularly of D&I.
So if you want to leave people with one key thought about D&I as we bring this podcast to a close, what would that be?
I think it will be a very simple message. Like if you want to live in a healthy, strong and developing society, advocate the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
So grasp the agenda and run with it.
Correct.
Thank you very much indeed. And thank you for your thoughts. I hope those listening to them found them as enlightening as I have. And we hope that you found this session useful. If you wish to read the full report or access any of the abstracts of it, then please visit either the ACCA website or download the ACCA Professional Insights app. And thank you very much for listening and goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.